today on Real Radio.
This father in the parable, I wonder how he slept at night. Don't raise your hand, but have you ever had a wayward child? How do you sleep at night? Is your child wayward tonight? Isn't it amazing? It doesn't matter how old they are. I understand that if your child is 45 years old, there is a sense of, well, let the bum. But you say that out of a broken heart.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series on the parables of Jesus. We're in a mini-series on what is by far the most well-known of our Lord's parables, the parable of the prodigal son, the story of a young man who needed to hit rock bottom in life before seeing his need for repentance. Pastor Jack, however, has the title as simply The Parable of the Prodigal, as there are a number of prodigals in the story. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, continuing now with The Parable of the Prodigal.
The human spirit, unrestrained, does not want to be told what to do. Isn't it interesting that communism demands that they have control of your children, preferably by the age of 5? Did you know that? If you don't know that, you better read about communism. I encourage you to read Marx's writings and Engels' writings on the Communist Manifesto. I encourage all of you to read it. You want to know why? Because you're living it. It's shocking. And the whole push was to get people to adopt a system where the government would be your absolute authority rather than God, and to have the people get to that place without parents, he says, ever knowing about it. It's all written down there. Authority. And the human nature, when it rejects authority, it's funny. The human nature rejects authority and then it turns right around and seeks authority. It throws off the restraints of godliness or God himself or faith or whatever it might be, and then acquiesces or gravitates right toward a tyranny. You see this going on in countries in the Middle East all the time. And you see this in the life of people. I will not have my parents to rule over me. And then what do? They go right under the authority of a drug or someone, a group, maybe a gang, whatever the case may be. Authority. We need to be very careful as a people. You know, you think about it. If marriage, listen, I read this. It's very cool. If marriage is the most godlike union and it is vital to the culture between a man and a woman, then parenting is the most godlike ministry that a parent can ever experience. What is the father feeling when his son says, I wish you dead, so give me what's coming to me? And that father gives it to him. Listen, in the parable, what is Jesus saying? Well, ultimately, I don't want to let the cat totally out of the bag, but you probably figured out by now that Jesus in the parable is announcing to us, this is the heart of the Father. This is the heart of God. I want to do what I want to do, and God will let you do what you want to do. But how much pain do we inflict upon God? And that's lived out a million times a day in the lives of parents and their children when the kid says, hey, I'm out of here. You don't tell me what to do. And the brokenheartedness of it. And moms and dads break down and they're crying and they're beside themselves because all of a sudden little junior who they poured their life into turns around and bites the hand that fed them. And it breaks your heart. And the only consolation, if there's any at all, is someday Junior will have a son who will do it to him. And that's a very carnal thing to say, but it's no consolation. It's the ultimate pain. Kenneth Bailey, a Middle Eastern scholar, says that he tells of this story when he was teaching at a Christian seminary in the 70s in Tehran, Iran. And a student of his called him in the middle of the night and said, you need to get over to my house quick. My brother is trying to kill my father. This was a Muslim who had converted to Christianity. And because of that, the son, or the brother, was asking the father for his inheritance in advance, just like the parable. Bailey points out that 3 months after the rebellious son had asked the father for his inheritance, 3 months after that request, the father dropped dead of a heart attack. And the mother told Kenneth Bailey, "My husband died the night that my son asked for his inheritance. That's what killed him." It's such a radical thing. I wish you did. I wish you out of here. I wish you out of my life. A prodigal rejects authority. There's something in someone's heart. Maybe still, I'm not going to do that. I won't do that. They just can't allow themselves to be brought under authority. They can't hold down a job because a boss tells them what to do. They go from job to job to job because they think they can do it better. The only problem is they don't own the company. They only work for it. There's a rebellious streak. And there's a prodigal attitude about them. And then they may get all excited in the service. They might hear great worship. The message might convict them. And they say, "I want Jesus into my life." And then the next moment Jesus tells them what to do, they throw Jesus off. The prodigal. People have asked the question, is a prodigal somebody that is lost? Could be. Or is a prodigal somebody who's saved and goes back into the world and loses their salvation? I don't think your salvation can be lost if you have it personally. Well, then what's going on? And rather than answer that, which nobody can rightly answer, how about this? Why don't you let the Holy Spirit speak to you through this parable? Ask God to speak to you where you're at. But what causes a child to depart from what they have grown up in? What causes a child to leave home? There's that sense of, I can do it better. I can do my life better. I got to do my own thing. I will not listen to you, Mom. I will not listen to you, Dad, anymore. And they break out of what they view as a prison. I can't do anything around here. We've all heard that. Listen, have we not all said that? I mean, I'm thinking back in my mind. The only thing is, in my life growing up, you kept things pretty quiet in my house, private. I grew up with a Marine. And I told my dad one time what I thought about something. I mean it, one time. I remember where I was standing. I remember where I was standing. I remember what time of the night it was. I remember what I was wearing. I was a junior in high school. And I remember waking up off the kitchen floor because I accused my dad of not caring about something. I said, "The only reason why you said that is you don't care." Next thing I knew, I was waking up. And I never crossed him again. What causes a child to depart? Well, I think there's a self-realization of self. I'm me. Look at me. I can actually drive a car now. I've got 10 bucks in my pocket. Whoa. And not to mention, all the chemicals are raging. And you feel great. You wake up, you feel great. You go to sleep, you feel great. You fall off the roof, you feel great. Right? You fall off your motorcycle, you feel great. You just feel great. And you feel invincible. A self-realization of self. And self is sin. I can do this without God. I can do this without Mom. I can do this without Dad. I don't need anybody, says the person of self-realization. It's all about me. It's me, myself, and I. We're legends. It's fantastic. And the Bible says in Proverbs 22:15, foolishness, that's self, is bound up in the heart of a child, and the rod of correction will drive it far from him. Isn't that powerful? I know it's illegal to talk about that in the state of California these days, but it doesn't mean beat your kid. Self-realization can be very destructive. What about this question? What fear grips the home when such things happen? When a prodigal rejects authority, listen, the home becomes unstable. It's a painful thing. This father in the parable, I wonder how he slept at night. Don't raise your hand, but have you ever had a wayward child? How do you sleep at night? Is your child wayward tonight? Isn't it amazing? Doesn't matter how old they are. I understand that if your child is 45 years old, there is a sense of, well, let the bum. But You say that out of a broken heart. I encourage all of us to start kind of meditating a little bit throughout this series on the whole incredible divine dynamic of God's creation of family. Family, see, family is tough. Of course it's tough. It's the closest, listen, it's the closest thing you'll ever experience regarding heaven on earth is a family. It's ministry, it's life, it's difficult, it's productive, it's powerful, it's continuing. And you look at a life of a little child, and listen, God is teaching children all about himself through mom and dad. Did you know that? I don't want to get too far off. This is not in my notes. I don't want to derail myself or you, but when you study the scripture and you look at from Old to New Testament alike, the Bible speaks, God speaks of himself in certain contexts with female attributes. Did you know that? Did you know that? In the book of Revelation, whose Jesus, his face is as bright as the sun, his beard is as white as snow, his eyes are a flame of fire, it's the most ultimate masculine manifestation. He's got a sword in his hand, and when he speaks, it's like a sword comes out of his mouth. He's riding a white horse. It's Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, across his breast is a golden band. You say, you mean chest? That's the funny thing. It's in the Greek, a female word for breast. Why is that? Because in all of his righteousness, he's the comforter. In all of his glory, he saves. In all of his judgment, he's merciful. It's amazing. God speaks of himself in the Old Testament, obviously with masculine characteristics and female. Whenever there's comfort needed, he'll speak to us with female characteristics to bring us comfort. And you think of the family. There's a mom and a dad. And the dad is supposed to say things like, did you do that? And the little guy runs to mom and she says, what'd you do, sweetheart? What is it? It's perfect. It's exactly how it's supposed to be. Out of the effort of two who are one flesh, the Bible says, they raise up a child. And I know, can I say this? Can I take the liberty to say this? If not for many of us, all of us. All of us could say, I would have liked to have had a better parental upbringing. No kidding.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study called The Parable of the Prodigal. It's actually a mini-series that has a look at a section recorded in Luke chapter 15. The Parable of the Prodigal is part of Pastor Jack's series of lessons called The Parables of Jesus, which will continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio. All right, Father's Day is fast approaching, as you know, so we thought it might be appropriate to present a special message by Pastor Jack Hibbs to fathers.
Well, good morning, fathers and dads. Listen, I wanted to take a special time. I wanted to definitely focus on this particular day in a special way. And obviously, it's Father's Day, and people are greeting one another, Happy Father's Day and all that. And I wish I could stop and rewind everything and maybe make it a Happy Dad's Day. I would much rather hear about dads than fathers. I don't know about you, but my experience as having a father growing up was not the best. And yet I carry that relationship that I had or didn't have with my father into the relationship that I experienced raising our kids. You know, I wanted to take this opportunity right here in Chino Hills because for me, for our daughters, it means a lot. Because we would walk through this area when they were little. And even still today, now that they have their own children, they remember, they bring up the things that we did together, dad and daughter, okay? And that's important. They're going to remember these times and these locations that they grew up in right here in Chino Hills. They're going to remember that more than any sermon I've ever preached in my life. It doesn't matter if we planted churches in Russia or in Mexico or any else. They don't even talk about that stuff, guys. They talk about, oh, dad, remember when we took that walk? Remember when we went to the top of that mountain or that hill? Or do you remember when this happened? That's the stuff they talk about. What's interesting, dad, is that
those are the things now that they want to do with their children. They want to take their kids on the walk. Really near and close to our home is a place that, after all these years, we still call it the horsey way, because that's what our kids called it. There's a path by our house that we would go walk on and take a journey on, and we would look at all kinds of stuff. And the kids, listen, my daughters are 30-ish or 29-ish, and it is always still today the horsey way. Isn't that interesting? Sounds corny, huh? Sounds corny to you. Warms my heart. These are the things that we leave our kids. And so I want to encourage you to make memories with your children. And by the way, the most important ones will probably be the ones that cost you financially nothing. I want you to keep that in mind. Listen, what you were raised with is what you're going to hand over to others. And we're not only handing over to somebody else, we're handing over the ones that we love the most. And so this morning, for just a few minutes, I want to give you a dad's challenge. Because quite frankly, anybody can father a child. You can father a child. It's biological. It plays or displays no masculinity at all for you to impregnate somebody. That's irresponsible even. You produce a child, but are you being a dad? You can be a father in the biological sense, but can you be a dad? And that's the challenge I want to lay out today. Dads, if you name the name of Jesus Christ, you are a very special person today. You are not only a Christian, but you are godlike to your children. It's the way that God has made us. So I want you to consider something right now from the Word of God, and I want you to look at it maybe like you've never had before. And 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, the Scripture says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable. That is beneficial. The word means to put you out and ahead from everybody else, profitable. That it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And Dad, I want to talk to you today. Listen, from the heart, I speak to you right now as though there'd be no one else sitting around. Dads, we need you to follow Jesus today like never before. As a pastor, we are hearing stories from kids, from wives, from children that are unbelievable. Fathers who should be dads are walking out on their families. Or worse yet, they're even abusing their families. We are dealing with so many people who are trying to pick up the pieces because dads have given up on being fathers, or fathers never decided to be dads, and they're pursuing their own desires. We hear about fathers and dads giving up on mom, giving up on children, and going out and living it up, putting their own desires ahead of what now should be their focal point, raising up children as a dad and these children to be the next godly generation. Listen, dads, God has positioned you specifically to be the one that molds your child for their generation. So when the Bible says that all Scripture is given, it's given specifically in several areas. Number one, it's given that we might give forth to our kids doctrine, teaching. Dad, you and I are to teach our children how to live their lives. The next word is for reproof. That is, if they get off the course, it's incumbent upon us dads to get our kids back on the course by reproving them or rebuking them. Meaning, you've done wrong, son. I told you how to do this. Come on, let's get started again. Let's get back on the course and let's get moving on. And then the Scripture says for correction. That is telling our kids, look, you were on track through teaching. You took your eyes off of what I told you. You got into the ditch. I've reproved you, meaning I've rebuked you and told you where you went wrong. You're now back on the course. I am giving you instruction on how to do that. And then the end is for them to have a righteous life. Dad, if you and I fail at this, we fail at everything. My heart's broken. Dads are giving up, caving in on the family, going out to satisfy their own desires, calling themselves Christians. We're at a crisis point. From one dad to the next on this Father's Day, can you, this moment onward, decide to pour into your children's lives like never before, to put whatever your desires are on the back shelf. Forget about them. to live for your kids, to give them Jesus. Your children, my children, our grandchildren even, are forming their views about who and what God is all about by how we love on them and the examples that we show forth. Now look, all of us fail. We are all humans. But God has built grace into the heart, into the life of a child. They look at us with a great sense of forgiveness. They want us as dads to succeed. And quite often, most of the time, we're our biggest mistake. We come against ourselves and make things harder for us. But God's grace is there for that. But Dad, listen, I plead with you like never before. Can you take your own fleshly, selfish desires and get rid of them? Have you fathered a child into this world? If you have, God is going to hold you and I accountable to be their dad. There will be no excuses. We can't point to mom. We can't point to the other kids. Frankly, we can't even point to how we were brought up, because Jesus' power is greater than the life that you and I received from our parents. Christian dad, like never before in these last days, I need you. The church needs you. More importantly, your own kids need you to be a loving dad, a gracious example, a loving example. You know, think of this. As I mentioned earlier, masculinity, somebody might say today, is what you wear. It's how you carry yourself. It's how you act. Where's that from? It's from the world. Masculinity is this. Are you reproducing godly children in the way of, that the Lord would have you to raise them? That's masculine. Anybody can put on a show. Anybody can do a one-night stand. Anybody can be with somebody else. It takes a commitment all the way through to the end. And we need dads to be dads. We need you, Dad, to love on your children. Again, we're meeting with so many broken families all because Dad decided to give up on his calling and to go pursue other people for his own self-gratification. Maybe today you're not that dad, and you're a good dad, and I thank God for you, and your children no doubt thank God for you. I want to encourage you, continue to be a good dad. You know, listen, in wrapping this up, I find it amazing that the American family is broken now more than ever. Yet we have more books, we have more seminaries, we have more videos, we've got more teaching available to us on how to be a dad, but yet we're failing. Why? And why is it so bad now? What's going on? I think it's this. With all the resources available, I think we're not taking advantage of the resource, the Word of God. All Scripture has been given to us dads that we might be the best dads in the whole world to our kids. And in the end, we're going to stand before the Lord and give an account for the children we brought into this world. Did we point them, lead them by word, and more importantly, by actions? Did we live a life that they wanted to copy and wind up in heaven with us? This is a very critical time. And that's why I wanted to bring this announcement to you this way. One-on-one, as it were, challenging you dads to step up like never before. And just because someone's fathered a child doesn't make them a man. What makes you a man is determining today, from this point onward, to be a dad to your children in such a very dangerous and critical time. So, Father, I want to thank right now your calling upon my life and the lives of these men that you have made to be dads. There may be men in this church this morning that are simply fathers. They've biologically reproduced a child. But I'm speaking to the dads this morning. Lord, I pray that you'd pour out your Holy Spirit upon them. I pray that you'd pour out your power, your conviction, and unction, that they may get up from this service today and have an awesome dad's day, because from this moment onward, may they determine to fulfill their greatest ministry of all, and that is that they would be a dad to their children. We ask it in Jesus' name, and all of God's dads said, amen.
All right, thanks, Pastor Jack. A special message to fathers, thoughts and principles that have been on Pastor Jack's heart. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. If you need to get in touch by phone, here's that number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Real Life with Jack Hibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.